Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
This program is made possible thanks to the generosity of our listeners. Show your support at heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Hello and welcome to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, Aaron Bresnitz. Before we get into the show, which we are very excited about, we want to make sure that you have voted, are going to vote on Tuesday, November 3rd, or have a plan to vote. If you still have your ballot, please drop it off at an official drop-off box or drop-off site. The mail is probably a little dicey right now, and you want to make sure that your voice is heard. And if you live in LA and you need a little help to get through the day and you need something to quaff, we hang out with Natalie Heckmatt on today's episode from Voodoo Vin. She opened her new wine store with her partners during the pandemic and is an absolute treasure and treat. If you're looking to pick up something curbside, both of the alcoholic and non-alcoholic variety, she has you covered. We talk about her way into natural wine, some recommendations for the holiday, and it's a really, really insightful and fun conversation. Then we head into the archives from an electropop performance in 2017 with Julieta. She talks about the killer in music that she had coming out then, what it was like to be growing up in New York, and her mother's Sicilian cooking was, you know, her favorite in the Big Apple. She also has a single coming out, a new EP, and so we thought this would be a great way to shine a little light on one of our favorite performances in the last few years. And also, our book is out on Faden, Snacky Tunes, Music is the Main Ingredient. Perfect for the holiday season as well, for those who love food, music, creative process, and just looking for a nice coffee table book. Head to Faden.com or SnackyTunes.com for all the info, including dates on our virtual tour. So please sit back and relax and enjoy Snacky Tunes here on HRN.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, Snacky Tunes.
Natalie, hello. How are you? Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Hi, Darren.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you for taking the time out of running the shop to sit down with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on your show. This is this is awesome. I'm so excited.
Yes. And obviously, congratulations, because you opened end of summer, beginning of fall this year. And obviously, with the pandemic going on, there is no protocol or right or wrong way to open a business during this time. But what led you to that decision to ultimately open the doors, you know, with, let's be honest, no end in sight for this coronavirus?
I know. I mean, it seems like it wouldn't make sense to open up a business during COVID times, but we had, signed a lease a few years back, almost 3 years ago. And it was just time, you know. I mean, unfortunately, in Los Angeles, it does take quite a long time to open up a business of retail, alcohol, to serve it with food. So we actually had to just wait. It was quite a long process just to wait for all of those permits to be cleared and come through. And it was, you know, right, I think, as COVID hit, we were about to open in March. And then when everything shut down, we had to kind of take a pause and reassess, like, what to do, and took our time to, you know, we started noticing that we noticed in and of itself that after like a month or two, we had heard from other wine shops that they were doing really well, that everyone was still drinking, that business was still flourishing, maybe even better now at that time, you know, than even before. So I think that it kind of encouraged us to, or at least motivated us to kind of, you know, push forward and open. But we knew that by not having an online shop, that it could potentially be a disadvantage. So we decided to focus on, you know, we had a ton of stock. It was like, you know, ready to go starting in January, but we decided to kind of take pictures, build a great website, and kind of take it from there. To give people the opportunity to shop from home, shop in their beds, shop, you know, all from their phones, and kind of give them the opportunity to feel comfortable doing it in the comfort of their own home, whether they wanted to pick up or not, you know, totally up to them. You know, we offer local neighborhood delivery, you know, curbside, you know, and we just wanted to give people that chance to see what kind of stock that we had. We had, you know, because we were supposed to open up earlier in the year and we didn't, we had a lot of stock that other wine shops had already kind of burned through already. So it was kind of maybe a little bit of an advantage on our part to have had bottles that were long gone, like back in January and February. And as we opened towards the end of August, you know, beginning officially in September, you know, we had stuff that people hadn't seen in at least, you know, 6, 7, 8 months. So that was kind of great to kind of see people excited again, you know, seeing that, you know, these, you know, bottles that were, you know, that had kind of disappeared a long time ago, and we were resting on them, and they were kind of in our wine cove and sleeping, kind of taking a long nap while we decided, you know, what the next step was, which was to kind of open curbside. We don't let anyone in the shop, but, you know, we do have that online shop to let people browse.
You know, being stuck in pandemic, I'm sure that people were very excited to find wines that they thought they had quaffed completely to be back in the mix end of August, early September.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to go back a little bit, because opening up a wine store and the journey that gets there is a long road.
Yeah.
And, you know, wine now sort of seems like a much more widespread drink, but even 5, 10 years ago, it wasn't that popular or mainstream, or, as we'll get to in a little bit, the new record collection, an indie rock artist analogy of the world. So how did you get into your own wine journey, and how did you start tasting wines?
Well, I mean, I think that it wasn't very like clear cut for me. I mean, when I was younger, I was probably like a tween, and like I actually wanted to be a music video director. That was like that's what I really truly wanted to be when I grew up. And but I came from like a multicultural, like I'm first generation born here. My dad was born in Poland. He's Greek and Polish, and my mom is born in Iran. So I had like a family that was like where food was like, you know, kind of really, it's like it was like really the heart of like our home was like my mom is an amazing like chef, she's been, you know, amazing kind of teaching us like really cultural dishes from like when we were a young age. And my dad, a great cook himself, but really was someone who just like loved food. Like he really kind of like had a zest for life when it came to food. So I think that as I grew up, and found myself in New York in my early 20s, the music video gig, directing kind of, it didn't like fall through so much. It's just like I moved to New York and like I just had to kind of pursue other avenues. And then as I kind of trailed through like my 20s and like early to mid 30s, like in New York before I had a kid, I met my, you know, then, you know, boyfriend, which is my now husband. And we traveled a lot. I think being in New York kind of gives you that advantage to be that much closer to Europe. So we traveled a lot. We traveled a lot for food. So that became like, when I met him, like, I think that, I mean, even before so, but I think that in my early 20s, it really kind of like propelled me to just seeking out, you know, like, this was even like before the days of like Bourdain, you know, like I really wanted to travel for food, travel to meet people. Since I was 12, like I went on like a kind of like a little tour group with a friend of mine and her mom, and it was all throughout Europe. And I think that I became very like wanderlust, like travel hungry. And I loved being around people from different countries, different cultures. I loved what they ate. I was like a very curious kid. And I think that obviously kind of trailed into like as I grew older into my 20s and 30s, like it became like the main reason for me to work was to actually earn that paycheck so that I could like plan my next travels like outside of like New York. And it obviously always led me, not so much in America, but it always led me, I guess Europe was really kind of like the cheapest in terms of traveling like abroad. And it was, I stayed at, you know, 1-2-star places, but I would spend most of my money on food. And it wasn't wine at that time. I was too young. You know, I drank conventional wine back then. I didn't know anything but about wine so much. I mean, I started to kind of grow to love like, you know, like cocktails. Like it was like the age of also like milk and honey, like those early days of like milk and honey, like on Russia. Like, yeah, you know, yeah, it was amazing, you know? So like it was the food was a big thing. Like, you know, also meeting people, you know, from different countries, really getting to know their culture, and kind of cocktails. Wine, my dad was a big wino, but I think that wine didn't actually kind of come to me until I had my son. And I realized that the way that like we were like living and eating, going to the farmer's market, you know, supporting like small farmer growers, you know, always on like, you know, blogs and, you know, Eater and like really trying to find out like what the new places that were popping up in like New York and like, you know, in Brooklyn, like where, you know, Brooklyn was kind of very up and coming, like when I was, you know, when I got to, you know, New York in 2002, Williamsburg was still, you know, Williamsburg was still like getting some popularity, but it was still quiet, you know? So that was probably really the best time to purchase, you know, any kind of real estate, if you kind of think about it, you know, but really, it really had some, you know, New York was really like the hub of great like food and dining. And if you were young, you know, I mean, you ate on the cheap, but like you really went to these like budget places like the Carts and like the like just great, great spots, you know, and like the dumplings in Chinatown. I mean, just like everything. I mean, like we like crawled. I mean, like I have crawled my way around New York and like such a, and still you would never scratch the surface. You know what I mean? I lived there for 15 years. But it wasn't until I had my son and I was really kind of having, I don't know, it was hard. It was hard being a mom in New York. I didn't have the community and family that I needed out there. And I got off, not that I was ever really into like social media, but like I got off social media. I didn't want to see what like anyone else was like doing. I didn't want to like involve myself and like feel that like I wasn't on like, you know, like it was like so important for me to kind of focus in on like what I was truly passionate about. And it was hard for me to kind of find my place with that after becoming a mom. And I got off all social media, didn't want to actually know like what anyone was up to and really focused on reading. And like, I picked up the newspaper, I picked up a New York Times like food article that I think my husband had passed over to me. And it was about biodynamic farming. And I read this article and it was just, it had talked so much about, you know, these small producers and how these wines, how their like taste profiles, like, you know, are so different from conventional wine. You know, their backstories are just like so super fascinating, you know, and it was just like, you know, and so many people also had career changes, you know, people worked in like finance or people worked for like their, you know, they worked for like their parents and like, you know, they were like, you know, they worked in like economics, you know, they all, and so many of them had these career changes. And I feel like I was at that point in my life where I like needed a change in my own life. And I read this article, so intrigued by the stories behind these winemakers that I went to my local wine shop and I asked if they had any, you know, organic, biodynamic, natural wines. And I was living in Greenpoint at the time and Dandelion Wine was like, you know, two blocks down from my apartment. And there was, you know, the girls there were great. And there was one particular girl, her name was Meg, and she actually has a wine shop in the Catskills right now. She moved out of Greenpoint and moved upstate with her husband. And they introduced me to wine. And then like from Dandelion became like I became a patron of like Four Horsemen. And like Four Horsemen, like the gang at Four Horsemen, like they all became such close friends of ours. And I just drank at Four Horsemen constantly and was like learning so much about like, you know, farmy wines, barnyard wines. Why is the smell there? What's tasting clean? Like what blows off? Like it kind of blew my mind. The fact that there was this whole new world out there of people that were so welcoming. So, they were so like endearing. They were so approachable. It wasn't like a snobby wine world. You know, everyone was just really friendly. They spoke to you as if even if you didn't know anything, they just spoke to you as if, you know, you were just like a friend over at their house, and they made everything very approachable and welcoming, which is kind of what I appreciated. So I did that. I did a program in New York to kind of learn the basics of wine because I thought I knew about wine and I didn't know anything about wine. So I kind of found that foundation at that school. And, you know, some of like the great, you know, wine teachers like Pascaline, she was one of my teachers. She knows everything about, you know, she was such a huge inspiration for me, but she, you know, I just was so fascinated to learn about everyone's story and to feel more comfortable and learning more about wine. And I knew from the moment I started drinking natural wine that I wanted to eventually open up my shop in Los Angeles. And obviously the shop now is going to be a wine bar because I kind of wanted to go even a step further and kind of bring like, you know, chefs into the mix. So but it was, it was not a clear cut road. It was just, you know, it all came from a loss of, you know, direction, you know, after I had my son, and then an article kind of changed everything for me. So,
I mean, it's pretty amazing what you talk about the second acts or the continuation of things that mattered to you, but now refocused through a different artistic discipline or product. And I know we alluded to it earlier at the top of the show, but you know, even with Four Horsemen, you have Justin Cherno,
right,
who's in Turing Machine, James Murphy, LCD Sound System.
Yeah.
You know, so many people who were into music into bands and things like that, who are now into wine, both on the provision, collecting, producing part, with, you know, some of these producers really being like indie rock sort of legendary type of people. And the analogy isn't lost on a lot of people, that a lot of these wine people who were so obsessive about music are now making some of the best natural wines in the world. What have you found, and why do you think that happened?
I mean, I think that there's definitely like a thread, you know, between music and wine. I mean, when I look at my, you know, I have like a massive like wine shelf at the shop, you know, and we have like over, you know, like 400 like different, you know, producers, and we have, you know, wine in the cave. And I really look at it almost like a wall of like records, you know what I mean? Or like a wall of books, you know, like really, really each one. And I try to explain it to people. I'm like, each one of those bottles, each one of those records, like has its story, you know what I mean? Like those producers have a story. I think that that's what kind of like humanizes, like they're all of those producers are also like these like farmer growers, but like, you know, they also have their own past, you know, they do have some, most of them do have those second acts, but like each of those bottles really tells a story of like a time and a place. And I feel like records themselves or, you know, music themselves, I feel like you'll never forget, just like you'll never forget the time. I mean, it's almost like a two part. It's like, first of all, the where that bottle was made, the climate that it was made, the year that it was made. I mean, it's, you know, every bottle of every cuvee of that same bottle will change from year to year. It's also just like, it's really a time for me. I think of them as time capsules, you know, it's really like a very affordable ticket to that person's winery, like at that time and place of like how the grapes were that season, what the climate was. Was it a warm, you know, winter? Was it a cold winter? You know, it really affects the flavor profiles of the bottle, but like the personality really comes through how the winemaker tends to the land. You know, obviously these wines and the vines are like, you know, untreated, you know, they're really expressive. But also like in that second part, it's like you remember where you had these wines just as much as you remember when you listened to like a record or like a song. Like, you know, like the time and the place. Like when I look back to like my childhood in like the 80s, like, and growing up and like watching MTV and like listening to the radio constantly, I was like, you know, huge, like music was everything to me. So I will I'll never forget like the time and place when like I heard like my first like Cure album, you know what I mean? Or like Disintegration, you know, like I'll like never forget like the time and the place. I think that people don't. I think that people who are obviously very passionate and attached to music will never forget kind of the time and the place where like they were during, you know, a period where they had like listened to like an album just as much as you're having a bottle of wine. Like, you'll never forget also how an album or a wine can like change you, you know?
Yeah, someone, I agree on that.
Like someone who like might not even be into jazz might listen to something and like the right like atmosphere, the right environment. And like, you know, if maybe they're not like a big fan of it at one point, you know, you could totally change your perspective, like just depending on the right person maybe telling you about like a backstory or like telling you or like kind of putting you in like the right situation. Maybe it's not about the right sound system, but like, you know, maybe having you listen to something that really like clicks for you and something that you could really connect with. So I feel like there is really such a backstory behind these bottles, but also like you'll never forget those experiences. And I think that just like music can be kind of a time capsule to like a time and a place, I just feel like bottles, wine bottles, like these natural wine bottles carry much of the same weight.
Yeah. I just wish I could keep going back to the same bottle the way
I go know,
back
me to
the
too.
Same album.
I know.
I'm like, too. I'm like, oh, I'll just spin this again. And it's like, no, you drank that about 3 months ago. All right, we're going to take a quick musical break, and then we're going to get into the actual store itself, Voodoo Vin, which is absolutely gorgeous. And even peeking from outside, I could project myself at the bar for quite a few hours in the months to come. We have a song, Deep the Archives, and then we'll be back with Natalie Heckmatt here on Snacky Tunes on HRN.
school, down with all your friends. All alone is how the story ends. From a distance it's you I can see. You never say a word to me, a word to me. The way you drift away, I swear you take the cake. Swear to God on earth that you're my fantasy, baby. And we don't have to talk at all. As long as I could look and see your face, you could be my slamming mannequin. Rock the greatest fashions and let it in. Who's to say that you're not falling in love with me? In love with me. You could be my slamming mannequin. Rock the greatest fashions and let it in. Who's to say that you're not falling in love with me? Is it in my mind or do you fit in my heart right there? From the window I see so clear your face, your hair. I can't get enough of you and what you do. My girl for a day or two now. When we speak, said no one knows. You strike a pose, you let it go. Whether I love you so, I've got to let you know that you could be my slamming mannequin girl. Rock the greatest fashions and let it in, baby. Who's to say that you're not falling in love with me, baby? Be my slamming mannequin girl. Rock the greatest fashions and let it in, baby. Who's to say that you're not falling in love with me, baby? Oh, girl, you should know that I've got you on my mind. Secret admirer, yeah. Hell, I've been watching. Admirer, baby, hell, I've been watching you.
Hello, welcome back to Snacky Tunes. We are still here with Natalie Heckmatt, owner of Voodoo Vin, which the saddest thing I think about all these places that, well, I mean, there's so many sad things. So I'll just say one of the sad things is that all these new spaces, you know, you pour your heart into this, you have this vision of like what a Thursday night feels like, what a Sunday afternoon feels like, what a, you know, Friday, people in the shop gearing up to like the start of the weekend, and no one can go in. Now, I've been lucky enough to be at the door to pick up wine and peek in, and it is not just a gorgeous space, but very indicative of other sort of wine caves of Paris and London. You definitely get that. Yes, you spent your time in Europe doing some research and drinking some bottles because it translated into a way that I haven't really felt or seen in LA.
Right.
I've seen like a lot of cool shops. I've seen a lot of cool Tokyo record style bars, mm-hmm. but I haven't seen them combined.
Right.
So what made you want to combine both the retail and then the actual drinkable space and to create something new that doesn't really exist in the city?
Well, I think that just from traveling, like when I got into natural wine, like I started, you know, Paris, like I used to go to Paris, like for food, you know, like Verveillet, like it's so amazing that I went to all of these places and probably had natural wine, but didn't like, it didn't like my journey of natural wine, like hadn't actually like, you know, it didn't like come into like fruition. Like it didn't actually like, it wasn't like partnered up like hand in hand yet. So, but I, you know, I started going to, you know, as like my journey was kind of ending like in New York, and like I knew that I was planning on coming to Los Angeles, like my fire for like the hunt for like these natural wine bars, like it kind of like fueled this, like, I don't know, it's like the passion that I had for Paris already just was just like on fire. So I started really going to all of those like natural wine bars. I mean, I'd already been to like Chateaubriand. I had been to like Vervolay. I'd been to, you know, a bunch of these spots, but now it was like Paris had like a whole new purpose for me. So I traveled to Paris. I was able to travel with a friend of mine that I worked back in the day. We were both kind of in the fashion industry for a period of time. His name is Morgan McGlone, and he's like a really good he's like kind of like one of my closest friends, and he has a Bell's Hot Chicken in Australia. So he was very much into natural wine, and I think as soon as he found out that I was into natural wine, we decided to go to Japan together. So when we went to Japan, that kind of blew my mind. So it was around this time 2 years ago that we went on that trip, and it was a short trip. I had my son was, you know, being looked after by, you know, the grandparents for like 6 days, and we kind of hustled our way through Kyoto and Tokyo. And I really understood, like, it was really important education for me to go there and really find out what people were drinking, what the vibe was like, how, like, you know, how comfortable and like, well, and actually so similar to Paris. I mean, of course, you know, I feel like they were so similar to each other. And then of course, like I traveled to London to, you know, go to, you know, some great wine bars over there, like P. Franco, Bright, you know, Braun as a restaurant. I mean, like these places, I think, really inspired me to both have that kind of cava manger experience where you could both, you know, take a bottle to go or to kind of have like a, you know, like a low corkage fee at the shop. And then, you know, you're going to have some small plates, maybe some like rotating, you know, residency chefs, you know, that kind of come in and out like every, you know, season or 6 months. So like I'm very inspired by like the residencies of like, you know, P. Franco is like a huge inspiration, you know, the food that they're putting out on two induction burners, like blows my mind. Like they have like absolutely no kitchen, and we don't have a kitchen either. I mean, like we have induction burners. You know, Braun is like putting out amazing food, like Vervolay. Like, it's just like that kind of where like people are doing so much with so little, like it's, and like their wine lists are just like, you know, it's, they're approachable, you know, you definitely have like affordable bottles and you have like your kind of like, you know, back end, like, you know, aged, you know, like these wines have been like aged for like, you know, 10 plus years. I noticed that in Japan that like, you know, their cellar is like full of like, you know, fresh stuff, you know, and then also it's like full of, you know, wines from like 10 years ago. And it's just like, it showed me that aging, there's so much potential in aging with these natural wines. And, you know, it just, I wanted to kind of like marry all of it together. I wanted to marry like the approachable aspect. I mean, obviously love like Four Horsemen, love, you know, Justin Chirino. Like, I really love like and respect these people that have worked so hard to put together these really neighborhood, approachable wine bars where no one feels that anyone is like above each other. Like we're all in it together. It's a community of love. Like it's really a community of education. I really wanted my place to be, because I don't know everything about wine. And I wanted it to continually just be a space of education. Like I wanted to continually, like a just like school, like I wanted to continue to educate myself, and through that, through these tastings that we do every day, also educate my customers, just because some people know and some people don't. And I don't want anyone to feel that uncomfortable by the experience. I don't want anyone thinking that this is like a boys club or like, I mean, it's actually just me and I have employees that are actually, it's we're all girls. I'm not sure how that happened, but like I love my ladies, you know, and they're like work so hard, but like I'm really representing like, you know, the female aspect of like the natural wine community, which I'm really proud of. But I don't want people to ever feel that like wine itself is just like natural wine, at least itself is not, it's not a trend. And it's also something that's like not something approachable. It's like there is something for everybody also at every price point too. You know, it's not that these wines are, they might not be $8, you know, they might not be something you might find at Trader Joe's, but like there is something affordable for everyone looking to kind of start their journey. But there's also like bottles that are like very special occasion bottles too, that like you could splurge on, that are very special. And there's a reason like why, you know, I mean, with some age and time, like there are definitely those bottles, like those records that we were talking about, you know, that really will like blow your mind. But just because a bottle is expensive doesn't necessarily mean that the $18, $20 bottle also will blow your mind. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't have to do with price. I think it's just the experience themselves and what the grapes are kind of being and how they're expressed that season.
I love that. And I love that you're thinking about the experience in the spot when you are open. And I would love for you to take a moment, since we don't have the luxury of being inside the spot, to think of a moment when the restaurant is open or the food is being served and wine is on. Like, pick a night, pick a day of the week, pick an afternoon. Who's cooking? What's playing? Like, what can people expect when they're walking through the doors when this is all done?
I mean, I think that I like really imagine that, like, you know, any night of the week, I don't know, maybe let's say it's like a Wednesday or a Thursday night. And like, perfect. I really like imagine, I don't know who would be the chef at the time. I mean, that would really, I can't imagine like who that would be, but I really look forward to the day to finding someone that, you know, that really inspires me, like, and kind of really inspires like Voodoo Van to really, you know, to really, like emulate, you know, and really kind of be the space where, you know, we could get creative with food. Like, we could go to the farmer's market. We could really support like our growers here in Los Angeles and like really put out some really fantastic dishes that isn't just kind of your basic charcuterie. It's, you know, I mean, that would be lovely. I want the dishes to kind of be a little bit, I want it to be thoughtful. You know what I mean? I don't want just like your basic like sandwich. You know what I mean? Like I really want the dishes to be thoughtful. I really want to support the community of Los Angeles when it comes to produce, when it comes to meat, when it comes to, I like just as if like, I just feel that it all goes hand in hand. Like it's all sustainable. It's all, you're supporting your farmer growers. I mean, like our tables are made out of like sustainable like trees, you know, that had like fallen like in Los Angeles, and we used Angel City Lumber like downtown to actually like recycle the trees into our tables. Like it's important. I mean, even like my toilet paper is like, you know, it's like everything that comes down to it, I feel like we're trying to be as thoughtful as possible. And I think our food to be reflective of that, reflective of the seasons. We have this amazing, a sound system, that we put in place through our friend, Zach Cowie. And he was originally a part of, In Sheep's Clothing. I don't think that he kind of set it up, you know, he's not a part of it, you know, anymore, but Zach really turned us from, you know, we were like really thinking like, should we get like Sonos speakers? And I could just felt that like the heart of Voodoo Van is not just the food. It's not just the wines. It's not just the people. Like it's also the sound. It's the music. Like whether someone wants to come in for a glass of wine and just be, they're alone, you know, and they want to just kind of, you know, trail into their thoughts and like have a glass, and whether they want to make friends with someone next to them, you know, obviously up to them. But like the music, I think, is so much like a part of the space too, just because that's so part of like my soul, is just like that passion for music. So we have these, you know, vintage, you know, is it like Klipsch? Klipsch speakers, you know, like the vintage, we have like these like kind of massive, like vintage speakers, and we have, you know, a Japanese amp. And like, it was really important for him, for even us to like, even when it came to like the wiring of like kind of putting it together. I mean, he was so nice, and it was like so kind of him to actually give us like the wiring that like is they actually use in Japan. So like even the wiring that's going in like from the cov like into the speakers is like this like Jap, and he says it all affects the sound. So it's really important for, you know, I mean, we play everything, even having no one inside the shop except for, you know, me and my employees. Like we're playing everything from like, you know, jazz to like, you know, like 80s, like I'm such an 80s baby, you know? So like we're listening to like 80s, we're listening to like classic rock, you know, we're listening to, you know, like, God, like everything that you could think of, you know? I mean, I have, and we're planning on actually getting like a turntable, I think, in time, you know? So we'll start collecting the records. But, you know, it's like really kind of important. Like, you know, we're going from like Shangri-La, you know, we're going like from like the 50s and 60s to like ESG and like, you know, we have like Fela Kuti and like Beach House and like Radiohead. I mean, like it just kind of goes, it goes in like all directions. But I think that music is like very key to like the experience. And I just want people to feel, I just want people to feel at home.
I love it. Yeah. Well, speaking of home, we're heading into the holiday season, and I would be remiss not to ask you for some recommendations for Thanksgiving and then the winter holidays. But also, because I have run into this, you know, I crack a bottle, I have a couple glasses at home, I don't crush it. Some tips for keeping that wine fresh. So maybe some recs first and then end on the freshness.
Okay, so I would say recs for the holiday season. I think that we're kind of, I mean, I know LA doesn't really kind of give off so much autumnal vibes like now.
It's gray right now. It is as fall as it gets.
It's true. And we are, I think it's going to rain this weekend, which is very exciting. So, so I would definitely say, I mean, I always want to kind of veer towards those like light, chillable reds, you know, something that drinks like kind of, oh, it's almost bordering like deep rosé, but like the light reds are always just like singing. They just like remind me of fall in New York, you know, of like this just like rainy kind of like gray days. And like, I just, you know, I'm trying to like bring those vibes, you know, to the shop. So, you know, you know, some of my favorite regions, you know, in France are, you know, the Loire Valley, you know, you have the Auvergne, you have Jura. So like, I have, you know, an incredible producer. His name is Francois Rousset Martin, and he has some like incredible like whites, you know, like even for Chardonnay, even for the people who might be like, you know, and I was like this too, you know, like maybe you're not a big fan of Chardonnay, but like he has like these like expressive, like mineral driven Chardonnays that will not remind you anything like what your parents drink in California, like in the 80s, you know, like these are like very expressive. But for me, it's all about those light reds, like the Trousseau and like the Poussards and like the Gamays, the Grelot.
I have some of those from you in my fridge right now.
Right. So, I mean, like the Pinot d'Annie, like you have so much of those kind of crushable, like crunchy, like they're such like crunchy, bright, like fresh reds that I would like recommend. And I mean, we have so many from like Alex Foyard, which is the son of Jean Foyard. He's part of like the original kind of Gang of Four in Beaujolais. We have some incredible ones from Bot Rouge in the Jura. We have some in the Auvergne from, gosh, we got some secret bottles in the shop that like I can't wait to share with people. But we have some great ones from like Domaine Moss. We have so many, you know, that I like can't wait. Also like bubbles. Like I think that people are, you know, we like went through a phase where everyone was having like pet nats. And I think that people think that like if you're having anything with bubbles, that it's just for something celebratory, but mm-mm. Bubbles are really refreshing. I think it's something that you could have like throughout the day, like into the evening. Obviously a Pero hour is like, a great time to have bubbles. You could have bubbles like throughout dinner. I think that it's not, you know, these bubbles aren't like as aggressive as, you know, champagne. And obviously you have your great champagne drinkers that definitely like are, you know, want champagne even throughout dinner, but like pet nats or sparkling wine that have, you know, different methods to kind of, you know, re-ferment and give them those bubbles. Like there's not a reason to like not have bubbles to kind of, you know, throughout the day or maybe to start a meal. Like they're really light and easy. They kind of set the tone like for the night. And like they're the ones that definitely get crushed, I think, the fastest. So all of them
those
are
go.
Exactly. And like they just have low alcohol. So it's just like it's super easy if you're sharing it with someone, like to just crush it, you know? So I would definitely say, you know, for the holiday season, I mean, I tend to, you know, veer on those. I still love my mineral whites, but like, you know, definitely those light reds or like deep rosés are just, you know, they're still calling for the season. So those would be my all-time favorite. Obviously skin contacts, you know, that have some light to like deeper macerations is like very, you know, you definitely get those like fall feelings, like when it comes to some skin contacts that have like a little bit of like, you know, these kind of like tea, like kind of oolong notes to it, you know, a bit of like stone fruit, you know, the colors are like just like stunning. They have a bit of like, you know, that bitter kind of like tannic crunchy structure to it, but they're all really, really beautiful. And we have so many bottles to share with people. Like, I can't wait until Thanksgiving comes. I feel like we have like an abundance of like Thanksgiving and like November wines, you know, like that are kind of gearing up towards Thanksgiving. So we're really excited to share.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And what about freshness?
Freshness, for me, I have found that if a wine can hold itself to the next day, some wines kind of lose their vitality from day one, and some actually some do better even on day two and three. So for me, if you're not going to have the whole bottle, I think it's the oxygen that's in the, like the oxygen that's exposed, you know, in when you open up a bottle. I would cork it every time you're having, like people leave bottles open and that's great, but the bottle will change.
Recork,
you know, I would recork and also put it in the fridge. I think people think that, you know, you're, and also these, I mean, we're not in New York where it's like super cold, you know, right now and your temperature of your household is like in the 60s, like in especially in LA, I would say, unless you're in a cold environment, you know, which is great. But if you're in a place that's a bit warmer, I would always say best to recork and pop it in the fridge so that the temperature stays controlled. Because if your household is kind of waving up and down in temperature, it's going to change the structure of the bottle. So that's kind of my biggest tip is always just put it in the fridge and with every glass, just like pop the cork in it right away.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, listen, Natalie, thank you so much. Congratulations on opening. I'm looking forward to being at that bar.
Thank you so much, Darren.
Maybe not a Thursday night with the kiddo, but definitely on like a weekend or an afternoon or something like that. I know that when our daughter Josephine was but 4 months old, we went to Paris and we have a great photo of her asleep in her stroller at La Buvette.
I have the same with my son at Chateaubriand, and like he woke up right as we were paying the check. So it was actually a perfect meal.
Well, listen, if people want to follow along, because I know that you have great tips on Instagram, or if people want to order from the store, where can they go?
They could go to Voodoo Van LA on Instagram. They could call us at the shop. You could DM me on Instagram. Like I'm on Instagram all the time answering people's questions constantly when it comes to food suggestions or what's new in stock. So you could get a hold of us at the shop, or you could reach out to us, you know, on the phone, or you could come by and you could DM me. You know, that's probably the easiest.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. Also, thank you, Jay Strell, for setting this up. We always appreciate
it. Yes, thanks, Jay.
Estrell tip. We have another song from the archives and then a live band from the archives here on HRN.
There was a girl next door back then. She didn't know how to fit in. One kept selling her. Don't talk back, don't ask us why. Just sit down quietly and smile. Better to be seen than heard. Is that what it means?
All of us at HRN have been keeping busy despite working and recording from home. This fall, we're proud to announce new shows on the network that each bring important and enlightening stories to listeners around the world. While the world is in turmoil and the future of our country is uncertain, there are certain constants that help keep us going. For us, food and storytelling are essential. While we can't come together in person, food podcasts from HRN can provide a virtual table we can all gather around, bringing exceptional stories to your ears and keeping you informed on the ever-changing political and environmental issues of our time is integral to our mission. At a time when the world around us is rapidly changing, HRN is committed to being here for our listening community, and we need you to be here for us. Join our table and help ensure the future of food radio by becoming a member of HRN. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate to make a contribution. Check out the latest additions to our lineup while you're there. You can see all of our series at heritageradionetwork.org/new shows.
Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. Julietta, welcome to the show.
Hello.
And hello, Cornelius.
Hey, how you doing?
You are a born and bred New Yorker.
Yes.
Very rare breed. And you still live here. Most of them like escape. What is it that kept you in the city? And how did the city influence the music that you make today?
Oof. This question is difficult because I am very the type that loves to run away and to just get out. But New York is just, everything is here. So it's kind of hard to get used to anything else. But I love to just get out and to explore and then realize how amazing New York is and then come back.
Do you have a ritual when you come back? Is there a first thing that you do or a first place that you go eat at?
My mother is an amazing cook. She's Italian. My parents are Sicilian. And every time everyone's like, oh, what's your favorite restaurant in New York? and like honestly my mom's kitchen.
What is mom's specialty?
The pasta, like any pasta.
From scratch?
Yes.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm so sorry that I asked. It just shot me a look.
It's
how could what other way is there to make pasta? I didn't know. I've never seen it.
It's like this reoccurring thing because whenever my friends are like, you want to come over and we'll make some food, we'll make a pasta. I'm like, yeah, for sure. I'm so excited. I come over and sometimes they open like jars of like pre-made sauce that they find somewhere and I'm like, what is this?
We make our sauce from scratch at Snacky Tunes.
Yeah.
I've never been able to, once we started making from scratch, I've never been able to go back. There's just a thin wateriness that doesn't, or sometimes if you have to get it from there, you have to reduce it mm-hmm. from the jar just so it tastes a little bit like something.
Yeah, and honestly, like it's so simple to cook. You just like put things together and you just put a little bit of love into it and then you
and
get
some time.
Yeah.
Put on a couple favorite records and it's done.
Yeah, patience.
And what else besides the pasta does mom cook oh so well?
Milanese really well. And I grew up without frying things. My mom just doesn't fry, so everything is baked. So it's great because it feels like it's fried because it's really crispy, but it's healthy.
Do you cook as well?
Yes.
What is your specialty?
My specialty would be just to throw a bunch of random things together and make it taste really good.
So it's like kitchen cooking.
Yeah.
Kitchen fridge.
Super like home warm vibes.
And you also spend your winters in the jungles of Nicaragua.
I did this year.
Yeah. How did you find that place or how did it call out to you?
I have a bunch of friends here that do really cool things, and one of them happens to be one of the guys that started Madera's Village. And
what is Madera's Village?
It's this community in Nicaragua where you can go and stay there. It's kind of like a hotel, but they also have a yoga community, music, surfing, so you get to do pretty much all of that. With super cool artists that come through all the time. There's a really cool recording studio there, so that's why I was just like, yeah.
You're like, are you, when's the studio open? That's when I'm coming.
Yeah, exactly.
And what was it about being in Nicaragua that inspired your music or helped fold itself into the way that New York inspires you?
Well, they're completely different. There was no time there. There's no watch. There's no gotta go, gotta be there, gotta do this, gotta do that. It's kind of just like do whatever the hell you want. And here it's always like, oh, I have so many people I gotta go see and so many things and the subway and this and that. So it was really just freedom that inspired me.
Can we hear a song?
Sure.
What are you gonna play for us first?
I'll play you the song that I wrote there called Beach Break with Jack Goodman that is in LA right now.
Cause I'll move, I'll dance, I'll show you how to dance, baby. I'll dance, I'll show you how to dance. I'll move, I'll dance, I'll show you what I'm working with. See you looking over my way. Oh, I'll pretend as if it was the first. What's the problem? Did I offend you? We saw this coming, but will you stay? Cause I'll move, I'll dance, I'll show you how to dance, baby. I'll dance, I'll show you how to dance. I'll move, I'll dance, I'll show you what I'm working with. Balla per me, bimbo, 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 bianco. We wanna dance, but we're swimming in a black hole. Pretty girl in the red dress. Never thought this could be such a mess. Cause I'll move, I'll dance, I'll show you how to dance, baby. I'll dance, I'll show you how to dance. I'll move, I'll dance, I'll show you what I'm working with. Show you what I'm working with. Show you what I'm working with.
You mentioned Jack as your co-writer on that song.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting how it came together.
Yeah.
You met him randomly.
Right. So I had a runaway moment, and I decided to go to LA for a month and see what I could find. And so I was there looking around, playing with some people. And then 5 days before I had my ticket to go to Nicaragua, I was meeting with this guy named Jack. And he happened to go to I went to Emerson College in Boston, and he happened to be there the same exact time that I was there, and I never met him before. But in LA we met, and he showed me all these tracks, and Beach Break was one of the tracks that was in his folder. And I was just like, these are amazing. I would love to write on these. Thing is, I'm leaving in 5 days, and I'm going to the jungle. You should come with me. There's a studio there, and we could have an amazing time. And he's just like, who is this crazy girl being like, come down to South Central America with me. Anyway, convinced him somehow. And
is it really that hard of a sell?
No.
No.
Yeah. Except for like people that don't know how to take risks, it's hard.
Sure. If you're adverse to adventure and saying yes, it's pretty difficult.
Yeah. So anyway, second time I ever saw him was him roaming around in the jungle lost. And I was like, hey, dude, what's up? So then we became close and we started writing together. And then, we brought the track back and another friend, Stray Echo, helped us tighten it up. And that's what it is now.
And there's some sounds from the jungle that are on the track, on the recorded track as well.
Yeah, in the opening you hear the jungle sounds. That it was just so much going on there and so beautiful that I wanted to somehow figure out a way to take a piece back. So I told him to go out there and record the sounds, and we ended up putting it in there, which is like a thing that I actually really love to do because I did it again with my next song.
It really sets the stage for it. Everything, you know, when it's pre-recorded, you just kind of don't know what the surroundings are, but it really gives you a sense of, and we heard the recorded version of Runaway at the beginning of the show, and you can hear you walking down the street. Yeah. And the airplane, which we'll get to, but I think for Beach Break, it's really amazing to hear just the mindset and the actual location that you're in.
Totally.
What are you gonna play for us next?
This next song is called Hypnotize. I wrote it couple years ago with Stray Echo, but I never got to release it, so here's a little special thing for you guys.
I was standing by the tracks as the sweat hit my face, and I was swaying to the memories of your mistakes. And as my mind was floating off, I felt you grab me in my ragged face. And I didn't want to see you, but we touched and now I want you to stay. Hey, hey, you got me hypnotized. Oh, hypnotized. Mesmerized. Oh, hypnotized. You keep on hitting me up as I'm making my way through the day. I try to close you out, but I can't seem to lose your face. You keep on creeping, always creeping, but I'd rather you just tell me straight. I'm about to quit you, 'cause it's harder when you try to make me your mistake. Hey, hey, you got me hypnotized. Oh, hypnotized. Mesmerized. I love you.
Your new single, Runway, has a similar origin to Beach Break, about meeting a random guy.
Yes.
And having a chance encounter.
Right.
You met at a party and he invited you to come see him in Italy.
Right. And at first I was like, that's crazy. Why would I do that?
I mean, is it the same crazy that you come to the jungle?
Jack and I were strictly like professional. And Runaway was more him just being like, why not? We should just like go and have fun. And I'm all about adventure. And as like some people are like, what the hell? I'm just like, what? Why not? So yeah, I went. And I got my Airbnb. I'm going to be safe. But I went. And it was an amazing weekend. Just because I just love being uncomfortable and finding ways to figure it out. It's just a great way of growing, you know.
I like that he sent you the tickets in November, but the trip wasn't until about
March.
How often did he check in?
Every month he was like, hey, so are you still thinking about coming? I'm like, yeah, well, the ticket's there, I guess. We'll talk in another month. Let's see what happens.
I mean, that's a really slow and steady right. type of game.
Right. Yeah, totally. But I mean, like, I'm living my life. He lives his life. I'm like, sure, we can have fun in a weekend in March. Just like, I'll talk to you later when that happens.
How was the food?
I mean, the usual amazing, yeah. Doesn't matter where you go, everywhere you're going to stumble into is amazing.
Do you have a particular favorite food memory or coffee or spritz or all of them together?
I mean, yeah, I had an amazing... Pesto is like such a simple thing, but when you do it right, it's like home. You know, it just feels like I'm in my bed, like cuddling. So I had an amazing pasta con pesto and burrata, obviously. But I was literally only there for like 48 hours, so it was just like four meals.
6 months for 48 hours?
Yeah, quick.
Must have been a good chance encounter.
Totally, but that's the reason why it was so crazy is because it was so short and such a like random thing. If I were to stay there longer, it probably wouldn't have been so like fiery, you know?
Right, it's like first night, last night.
Yeah, exactly.
So good to see you. I can't believe I'm leaving.
Bye.
Bye. How did the song come out of it, the trip?
So basically... my friend Stray Echo sent me the track for Runaway to write on. And as soon as I got it, I was about to run away. So I wrote the chorus, I'd run away with you. And then while I was there, when I was getting to know him and getting to know the situation, I started writing the verse and the sounds I took right away because I knew that it would be like a cool thing to add to it.
And what are the ambient sounds that you... Where are you located when you're recording the field?
So the first... The opening is me walking along the Fiume, the river, next to the old bridge that they have there. And I was literally walking to go meet him. And I thought, I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to take these sounds. And then when I was leaving, I was like, I should just do the same thing. And when I was getting on the airplane, I took out my phone and even got the stewardess on there.
If you want to go and listen to the opening of the episode, you can hear the airplane, mm-hmm. which is a really cool mm-hmm. way to pull the track together.
Yeah.
And you have a song release party coming up later this week.
Yes, we are performing at New Blue on Avenue C Thursday night around like 8 p.m.
And what can people expect for a song release party?
I mean, just super cool people, my friends and fans, and also another friend of mine, Cole Trickle, is going to be DJing and he plays great music. So it's just going to be like good vibes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Good summer vibes.
Yeah.
It's summer.
Vibes. Yeah, exactly.
Feels like it.
Uh-huh.
We want to make sure we have time for one more song, but where can people find you, get the songs?
Yeah, we're on Spotify and iTunes and all the above, SoundCloud. My website is juliettanyc.com. You can find some stuff there, or you can just look up Julietta online and find the songs.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank Peter and Zach for coming by. We want to thank Jameson for kicking off our Snacky Tunes 5. Big thank you to Kong and Darren as well, and David out there in the booth. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week with another live episode of Snacky Tunes. What is the name of the song that you're going to take us out with?
Runaway.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week.
Day
searching for the right things to say. Let it go, let it spill into my mind. I promise I will help you realign. I'd run away with you, everything you wanna say to me, say to me. I would take it anywhere for you, where for you. I've been looking for a way. I'd run away with you, everything you wanna say to me. I would take it anywhere for you, where for you. I've been looking for a way. To slip away from time, I'm chasing shadows cause you're scared of what I'd find. But baby, if the sun is what you need, oh, I'll bring you the heat. Perdiamoci. Touch my favorite Russian lullaby. Oh, I tell me that you'll miss me on Sunday. And when you do, let's run away. Dun dun da dun dun. Da 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 da.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
This program is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody. I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.